It's good to have you in the Lord's house this morning. I'd like if you would turn this morning with me to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. God has placed this heavily on my heart, and I'm not going to be preaching in Ezekiel till next Sunday. I just feel like God has said to us, after all the deaths that we've had, one, two, or three, in the extended church family, every week of the year, 2011, we need a challenge and some comfort for our souls. And so Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my load is light. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, would you speak to us as a congregation? Each one of us, individually and corporately, speak to our church today. I thank you, Father, that you've promised to be present. And Lord, you have been with me in the preparation, now in the delivery. Would you use these words to meet the needs in our hearts? In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I ask you a few personal questions to begin with. Are you torn up? Are you seemingly forgotten? Are you burned out? Maybe tired out? Cried out? Worn out? Are you without Jesus at the center of your life? Hear the voice of Jesus calling out to you. Hear his gentle voice. I sense him saying, in essence, come to me. Let me recover your life from the weight of being heavy laden. Let me show you how to rest, really rest, even in your work, even in your unemployment. Let me show you how, not only to work with me, but how to rest with me. Watch me pound nails and do it with me. Watch me catch fish and do it with me. Come and join me in the wonderful joy of being my saved son or daughter, my bride, my child. Salvation always precedes surrender. You can't live like a married man or woman until you are married. And you can't live like a saved person until you're saved. After you're saved, I call you to live like a saved person. I want you in yoke with me. Most of us probably need rest and lots of it, perhaps more than we're willing to admit. It makes this invitation from Jesus very appealing. If you know anything about planned vacations, you all know that vacations can be the most expensive times of our lives, and we end up paying very dearly for them. What's the cost of an all-expenses-paid rest for your souls from Jesus? A poet put it well. He said, payment God will not twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Rest for our souls is all expenses paid. If Jesus paid it all, there's nothing left for you or me to pay. In the knowledge that the burden of the cost is lifted, beloved, rest then in what Jesus has provided for us. In him alone is true rest. From our text, what are five ways we must come to Jesus for rest for our souls? First of all, come to Jesus with a daily humble heart. Come to Jesus with a daily humble heart. These words, come to me, they are kneeling words. What I mean is that these words suggest a posture of our spirits. Regardless of the place where we're at the moment, we can be standing, lying in bed, seated at a table, driving in our car, or kneeling on our knees. But wherever and whenever we come to Jesus, it is a kneeling of our spirits that precedes and supersedes any kneeling of our flesh. We can never come to Jesus once and say, well, that's done for the day or the week or month or year, or that's done for my life. That's tragic. This coming to Jesus is what part of speech? That's right. That's right, Megan. That's right. It's a verb, and it's in the present tense. It is continuous. It is a daily, moment-by-moment coming, and it's mirrored in Jesus' specific words in Luke 9:23, where he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily, and follow me. Come to Jesus with a daily, humble heart. Whatever it means to come to Jesus, it is to be a daily matter. Now, daily in the Greek is the word hemera, H-E-M-E-R-A. This word is more than from dawn to dark. It signifies a period starting with right now and going until this time tomorrow. It's what happens, if you will, in a 24-hour period. Coming to Jesus is to be a daily coming to him, coming after him, following him. Any slacking off in coming to Jesus is not acceptable as his bride, any more than it would be acceptable for you to fail to come home to your spouse at night. If I didn't come home tonight and I was still in Rock Springs, it wouldn't be acceptable to Jenny, my wife. Not at all. Slacking off in coming to Jesus is no more acceptable than looking at lustful images on the internet or having an affair. Daily means every day we humbly give Jesus all of our surrendered heart. Beloved, spending time with Jesus daily is either a daily humbling before him, or it soon becomes a non-issue, very soon. And soon after that, our callous spirits justify our lack of discipline, and soon the enemy is defeating us. And in our pride, we hate to admit that deep within, we know why the enemy is defeating us. We have not been daily coming to Jesus. Beloved, humble souls win. Proud souls lose. Humble souls bow. Proud souls brag. Humble souls bend. Proud souls break. Humble hearts coming to Jesus, well, that's as vital as drinking water is to live. Carmelinda up at our snow retreat last weekend, she was calling out, drink, 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 and we had drinking water up there. We had bottled water, and she said, drink, drink, don't become dehydrated. Did you know without coming to Jesus daily, we get spiritually dehydrated, and soon we are spiritually sick. There's a second way we come to Jesus. Not only come to Jesus with a daily humble heart, but secondly, come to Jesus as a daily holy habit. These first words in verse 28, come to me, they are words calling us to a beautiful, holy life. Blaise Pascal explained it this way. He said, next to the might of God's Spirit, the serene, silent beauty of a holy life is the most powerful influence in all the world. Do you have a daily holy habit of coming to Jesus? It's been called by many names, but do you have one of those special times with him, a daily holy habit? You call it a quiet time, daily devotions, personal devotions, family devotions, a daily time in your closet with Jesus. The name is not important. What's important is not the name, but if you have a time with him, and if you do it daily with Jesus, coming to him, is this holy habit your personal habit? And if you do have a habit of coming to him, it's not just for 15 minutes a day or 30 minutes or maybe even an hour, but he wants you all day long to be coming to him, even when you wake up at night, even if you get up to have a drink of water. Come to Jesus as a daily holy habit. The Greek word for come in our text is an interesting word. The word is duty, D-E-U-T-E. It's pronounced like our word D-U-T-Y. It means come here or come hither. Now, back in Luke 9:23, when Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. That coming daily there, coming after him, is a different word. It's erchomai. It means to appear before him. When God says it's your duty, and he says, come after me, it also means not only come here, but it means show up today. Let me see your present. It's as simple as calling the roll. I remember when I was back in elementary school, in a one-room school at Whitaker Forks School on Middle Big Creek, where I was born and raised. I want you to know Mildred and Troy Fields, husband and wife. He had the big room, grades 4 to 8. She had the little room, grades 1 to 3. And you could hear them every morning calling out the names. And they didn't want us to say here. They wanted us to say present. And they would call my name, Rich Carlson, present. They wanted me to show up, just as if I would call your name this morning. Jim Springsteel, that's right, present. Mark Duncan, that's right, present. Cesar De La Fuentes, yes, that's right, present. It's as simple as reporting in with the Lord. When I come home from work at night, I'm not truly home until I obey an unsaid call from my wife, Jenny. And that is, come to me. Come to me. She wants me to kiss her hello, and I want to do it. I kiss her goodbye, and I kiss her hello. Beloved, Jesus is our bridegroom. He calls us to a daily holy habit to read his word, to pray, to talk with him, to think and meditate on his word, to make it every bit as habitual as brushing our teeth in the morning. If you don't brush your teeth in the morning, you may get by that day, but in a couple days, you'll be an offense at work. And pretty soon your boss may ask you to either brush your teeth or forget your job. You see, we need to brush our teeth. But coming to Jesus is far more, billions of times more important than brushing your teeth. It's a daily necessary agenda. This daily holy habit makes us ready to face our daily battles. Daily we face temptations. The former president of Moody Bible Institute, Erwin Lutzer, said it very well. He says, temptation is not a sin, and he's right. He said, it is a call to battle. Pity us as believers if we're called to battle, but we first haven't come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, then, as a daily humble heart. Come with a daily humble heart. Come as a daily holy habit. Thirdly, come to Jesus as our daily hotel. Notice verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is our daily hotel. He's our Sabbath rest, fully paid for, and better than any Marriott or Holiday Inn or Residence Inn, or Hyatt, or whatever hotel you like. He does more than leave the light on for us. He is waiting for us to arrive, and he always welcomes us in a room that's always open and never taken by someone else. Paul's experience was that Jesus was his daily hotel, but Paul speaks of one of the heartthrobs of his life, which is probably yours and mine as well. And that's that he wanted to do better than he was doing. And instead, he was doing worse than he planned. In Romans 7:19-25, he said, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the bad things I don't want to do, those I do. Isn't that true at one time or another of us all? Isn't it true for you? It's certainly been true for me. It's no different from a smoker that has good intentions of quitting his or her habit. But all of a sudden, the drive and the cravings of nicotine are strong, and they go back to it. It's no different from an executive who has good intentions of spending more time at home with his family. But due to the expectations of his job, he often fails, and he fails miserably. It's no different from being one who is out to simplify your lifestyle and to consume less. But instead, you find yourself constantly succumbing to the hook of advertisers. You go to Smith's, or you go to Walmart or Albertsons, and you have a small list, and you come out with three of those carts filled with groceries because it was a good buy. 12 of them were cheaper than one, and all of a sudden you find you did not do what you wanted to do. It's no different from wanting to lose weight. And then you smell good food and you find yourself enslaved one more time. Come to Jesus as a daily hotel. Coming to Jesus is God's promise to us that the way out from under our weariness, the way out from under our despair of unmet expectations, the way out from these forces that try to cripple our ability to be what we want to be and what Jesus wants us to be, the way out is to offer ourselves fully and wholly to Him. Just like we turn in for the night in a hotel, we don't try to lay down. We just flop down on the bed. Oh, Jesus is calling us, turn in. He doesn't want us to try anymore. He wants us to trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Rest in Him. Pair up with Jesus and overcome the overwhelming forces of evil that are seeking to destroy you. The Spirit of the living God is telling us today, come to me. Come to me. Let me set you free from Romans 7:24. It says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will take us out of this, oh, wretched man that I am syndrome? That wretchedness of being like a wasted gerbil that's running on the wheels and finally decides I can't do one more spin on the wheels. And Romans 8, 1 and 2 is our daily hotel in Jesus. He says to us there in Romans chapter 8, and would you just turn there with me? Romans 8, look at it. Romans 8, 1 and 2. It's such a beautiful verse, passage. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Wow. Jesus, our daily hotel, sets us free from the law of sin and death. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus with a daily humble heart. Come to Jesus as our daily, as a daily holy habit. Come to Jesus as our daily hotel. Fourthly, come to Jesus as a daily harness or yoke for life. Come to Jesus as a daily harness or yoke for life. Notice in verse 29, the first part of it, and the first part of verse 30, he says, take my yoke upon you. And then in verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. My burden is light. When Jesus speaks of a harness or a yoke, he's referring to the way farmers in his day, even as today in third world countries, till their soil by harnessing or yoking two oxen together. When I grew up, I used a single tree plow and a mule. Some people used two mules harnessed together, but we didn't use oxen. Here he's speaking of wooden yokes that went over both oxen's heads and then rested on their shoulders. The classic yoke was made out of wood that was 6 inches thick by 10 inches wide, and then how long it stretched all the way across the neck of two oxen as they stood side by side. And then a piece of bent wood shaped like a capital U would go over each animal's neck and come up around it and then up through two holes in the main part of the yoke. And it would be secured there. This would hold the yoke firmly against the ox's shoulder. This may seem odd at first to you, And it may seem contradictory. He says, take my yoke upon you. You're weary and heavy laden. Isn't that contradictory, Pastor? Jesus is speaking of a person being burdened down with an enormous load on his back, piled so high he is staggering under the load. And what's the alternative Jesus is offering? That's rest for our souls. The alternative is not the end of carrying a burden. But he wants us to have rest for our souls. The alternative is suiting us to a different load. This yoke Jesus is offering us is a custom fit yoke, ideally suited to each one of us. Such a fitted yoke enables the ox to bear an even greater load than it could have before. What Jesus is saying is not, let me come into your life and you can go on doing everything just the same way you were doing it before. Oh, no, never. Jesus is not saying, let me take your yoke upon me. Let's do your career. Let's do your desires. Let's do your ambitions your way. No. God isn't saying, let me help you be a better workaholic married to your job. No, what is Jesus saying? He is saying, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my load, my burden is light. Jesus is saying, my yoke means my direction. It means my work. It means my training. And it means my fitted load. My help in yoke with me. Now I want us to look at those four aspects of Jesus' yoke that he calls my yoke. First of all, he would say my yoke means going my direction or Jesus' direction. It means Jesus is charting our course. The future is in his hands, not ours, when we take his yoke upon us. As we pull with him, we abandon our outcomes to God. We learn in the harness that it's far more important to be obedient to Jesus than it is to be successful. We go where he leads, where he points, and where he prompts by his Spirit, and not where we desire. It means Jesus' direction, or Jesus would say, my direction. Take my direction upon you. Take my yoke. And then my yoke means doing Jesus' work, my work. My yoke means doing Jesus' work. He doesn't call us to rest by laying our head down on a pillow. Rather, Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon us and work with him. This is an amazing rest from doing things our way. Take my direction upon you, my yoke, my work upon you. Let it be your work. It is my work. The third way is my yoke means receiving Jesus' training. In countries where yokes are still used, it's the common practice to put a new young animal into the harness or yoke with an older trained animal. The older animal knows what to do and when to do it and how to pull the load. Plus, that older animal has learned to follow orders. The young animal learns from the older animal that's going ahead. The younger animal learns to think, feel, and move and act. And that's what we need to do. We need to do with Jesus. We need to learn to think and feel and move and act like Jesus. This is training, even as a marathon runner would train under an experienced runner to run. If you want to learn to be a marathon runner, and you really, truly do, you have sought a very difficult thing. But ask Brenda Gray here. Would you help me? I'm sure she would help you with training. Take my yoke. In other words, come under her training. Oh, my yoke means my direction, my work, my training. It also means my fitted yoke. You know, when we come into yoke with him, it means accepting Jesus' perfectly fitted yoke along with his help. If you're studying to be a pianist, hopefully you have an accomplished musician that helps you. And they try to fit the classes to the person you are and help you at a level that you can make it. So you learn to play the piano. We're not equally strong as Jesus is, are we? course we aren't. Guess who is going to carry the greatest part of the load? He is. Take my yoke upon you means we need to remember that. Jesus wants us in yoke with him, but he'll carry the front end of the yoke. The yoke he gives us involves submission to his instructions. It simply means my direction, my work, my training, my fitted yoke, which is his great help. Fifthly and lastly, come to Jesus in daily hallowed learning. Come to Jesus in daily hallowed learning. Jesus said in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and notice these words, learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. William Booth, that great founder and entrepreneur of the Salvation Army, he once said, the greatness of man's power is the measure of his surrender. Beautiful words. Anyone in the world can be stubborn and rebellious. Don't need training for it. Anyone can be proud and unbending. Anyone can be critical and bitter to the core. That doesn't take an ounce of education. We all come by it naturally in our old sinful nature. That kind of a person is not resting in the Lord. That kind of a person is not being a learner from him. I tremble for you today. If your walk with God is not a daily hallowed walk of learning, I tremble for you if you can take in the Lord on Sunday mornings, come to church, and then float freely from the sanctuary to immorality in your life. If you can go from conviction in God's house to going to drink at a bar. If you can go from sitting at the feet of Jesus, reading his word in your quiet time, to looking at pornography. We can talk ourselves into compartmentalizing our walk with God. We aren't learning, even if we take excellent notes on the pastor's message. And I always emphasize taking notes. But you can take good notes. But if you compartmentalize it and shut the book and then live your way, learning from Jesus involves something that is so important. I want to call it snuggling. Snuggling. Spiritual snuggling. It means getting as near to Jesus, getting as near to Jesus as we can, and letting his presence rub off on us, rub off in our habits, and rub off in our music until others notice we've been with Jesus. Sometimes I sit down beside Jenny and we maybe watch a movie together or we do something together, and she says, come a little closer. She wants me to snuggle with her. And the Lord would say to us, learn from me, snuggle up. I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. You will find rest. You shall find rest for your souls. Are any of you today playing around in unhallowed walks that cry out to the Lord, I could care less about you? You see, it's one thing to take your little time for Jesus and then do your own thing. I hear the Lord Jesus reminding us all of his words in James 4:4. They're not verses we often memorize. It's not a passage we often say, well, I want to learn that. But there he addresses those who are living an unhallowed walk with him. And he says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We can't snuggle up both to Jesus and to a bottle. We can't snuggle up both to Jesus and to disobedience. We can't snuggle up both to Jesus and to drugs or the weed. We can't snuggle up to Jesus and to lying lips. We can't snuggle up to Jesus and to bitterness. We can't snuggle up to Jesus and to being unteachable. We can't learn from the Lord in a daily hallowed walk that is compromised with sin. It's a lot like learning a new job. We need to be mentored, mentored as apprentices by journeymen who have learned from the master for years. If you're going into being an electrician, you start out as an apprentice. You learn from a journeyman, and he has learned from a master electrician. I believe with the Lord, I want to go home always being an apprentice. I want to just keep learning. Dallas Willard, in a book called Renovation of the Heart, on page 228, he writes these interesting words. He says, "Our walk with Christ, well learned, is a burden only as wings are to a bird or an engine is to an airplane." That kind of a burden is really no burden at all. How many of you would like to be a pilot of an airplane that has no engine? How many of you would like to be a bird with no wings? How many of you would say it would be a burden for a fish to have fins? Oh, beloved, it's a necessity. This kind of a burden that he says take upon you is no burden at all. Jesus pleads with us, learn from me. Learn from me. Most of us will never get to go to Bible school or seminary, but we can all come to Jesus and learn from him. If it's a burden for you to learn from Jesus, realize birds need wings. Fish need fins. Airplanes need engines. Oh, he says, come to me. Learn from me. God has a fivefold plan. First, come to Jesus with a daily humble heart. Come to Jesus as a daily holy habit. Come to Jesus as our daily hotel. Come to Jesus as a daily harness or yoke for life. Come to Jesus in daily hallowed learning. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I pray now as I give this invitation. I pray, Lord, that many here in this church, Lord, that many in this congregation would get up from where they are right now and say, I need today to come to Jesus. I need to come. I need to learn. I need to make a recommitment to this daily humble heart, this daily holy habit, this daily hotel, this daily harness and yoke for life, this daily hallowed learning. Oh God, speak right now. As the music is played, speak right now to our hearts. And I pray that we would follow you as our shepherd and hear your voice when you say, it's your duty, come here. Show up. Show up. Say present. Come to me. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake, and seal these words in Jesus' name and for his sake, Father. Amen.